following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn 17 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast regarding the Blizzard game Hearthstone, still in beta, but now has been in open beta times a few weeks. I am Black Lace.
Hyenas prefer the bones of kodos or wind serpents, but they'll eat pretty much anything, even Brussels sprouts.
Really?
That's what the scavenging hyena says.
Interesting. So that's the flavor text.
That's the flavor text of the expert scavenging hyena. 2 casting costs, 2 attack, 2 health. Artist Jim Nelson.
That's right. Now you can tell us who you are.
I am Autumnsbane. Reader of the cards.
Reader of the cards. And if you didn't know, it is possible to see flavor text. You may not have known that. All cards actually have flavor text hidden away. Why don't you tell people where to find it?
Yes, unlike in other card games such as Magic the Gathering, where the flavor text is written at the bottom, Blizzard decided to streamline these things and only put the actual playable text on the card, which makes sense. But if you go into crafting mode and then click on a card, you will be able to see interesting information. The disenchant cost, the create cost, how many you have, and the flavor text, whether it's expert or basic, whether it's common or rare, and the artist name.
Interesting. I just love the art of the gold cards because it's semi-animated. And they're always shiny. I like shiny.
Shiny is nice.
Shiny is very nice.
My favorite gold card of recent weeks is the Loot Hoarder, because he's carrying this chest of gold, and there are gold coins spilling out over his chest.
I like the Arcane Missiles, because it's all flary and sparkly, and purples and blues, which happen to be my favorite colors. Purples, blues, and blacks. There you go. What better card art is there?
True.
So, there's no new news, is there?
Well, there's news. It's not necessarily Blizzard news. We try not to talk about ourselves too much in this podcast like other podcasts because we don't want to bore you. But I do want to say while we're recording that I want to wish Black Lace happy 26th wedding anniversary. She put up with that jerk for 26 years this week.
Thank you, honey. Oh my god, you are dating us. Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, so yes, there's no new news. As they have been doing with Hearthstone, they gave, they started in different heroes giving a whole big blog. I don't know what you would call it, but Anduin had his turn this week. Just gave you some background on him and how come he's able to do the dark and nastier stuff in Hearthstone than the Anduin we've always known, and they attribute that to the fact that he needed to go a little bit darker in Pandaria. So I don't know if that's going to be a new thing for Warcraft for Anduin, but they wanted to have a reason that he can turn all shadowy and start doing damage instead of heals, and they gave it as the problems that came up in Pandaria, which caused him to go a little bit darker or need to use the darker side of Holy.
Well, I haven't seen it. He's a little goody two-shoes, that little brat.
It bothered me that they didn't mention Jaina at all, but again, when you log into Hearthstone, you can always find in the news section the newer stuff, and that was just released 6 days ago. That's the newest news, and it was basically just a narrative. So nothing new's happening. They're still in beta. They're not projecting yet when it's going to go totally live. But as far as I'm concerned, if anybody who wants open beta is in and can get in, that's pretty live as far as I'm concerned.
They have announced yet again, like they've done often, that they have no intentions to cause another wipe. I know we said it last week, but they said it again this week, as if people weren't paying attention. So well, everybody who's afraid of a wipe, they're not going to wipe.
Yeah, because one of our listeners, Reap, mentioned last week that he actually completed the entire collection of cards. And I think a lot of people would have a lot to say if they went that far through either games or actually money, which always would be refunded through more cards. But to actually complete it and then have the whole thing vanish, I think it would be heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, having just completed my 500th win and probably twice as many losses, I've managed to collect almost the whole collection myself.
That's a lot of playing.
Yeah, it is, but the people who are legendary, the people who do tournaments, the people who are hardcore, they're not spending their time, you know, with their pets and their household chores and shoveling 15 feet of snow and playing Warcraft. They're out there playing Hearthstone after Hearthstone after Hearthstone. So probably everybody who's really high ranked has all the cards because they just do those daily quests. They win an arena. They get all the cards. They disenchant a lot. They make what they need. I mean, mostly I just need legendaries, but this week alone I was able to craft a legendary. I finally made Sylvanas.
Nice. I actually disenchanted my first legendary this week. It was a duplicate of Ragnaros.
Too bad you couldn't trade it to me.
I didn't try to see if you could have two in one deck, though. I meant to do that.
No, you can't.
Oh, okay, I didn't think so.
You can't.
And I was kind of disappointed because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get about 1,000 dust. No, I got my 400 and some odd dust, and I wasn't really able to do much with it. I'm still working on the Shaman deck that was suggested to us. I have not completed it. I'm one card short. Once I get enough to make another epic, I'm at 155 dust now, so I need another 300 dust to make my next epic, and then I will actually try the Shaman deck. But you, Autumn's Vein.
Me? Moi?
You said you actually tried a Shaman deck.
I did.
And didn't care for it.
Well, I tried the deck that our listener sent us. I was missing the Earth Elemental, was it?
Yes, because I created that for that deck because I'm trying to build his deck.
So his deck called for, I think, two of them, and I didn't have any. So I substituted. I think I put the Sylvanas in, and I put another high casting cost creature in it. Yeah, if I actually call up my deck, I can see what it was. So let's see. We're talking about the Shaman. So, yeah, I put the Sylvanas in, and I put in a second Azure Drake.
Now, is it Gorhal that is the epic?
No, Gorhal is Warrior. That was Grom Hellscream's weapon. It's Doomhammer.
Doomhammer,
which is a really good card. But, see, it's got the whole overload thing. Doomhammer is a 5 casting cost. It's only got a 2 power. To attack, but it's got an 8 durability. Now, you can give it Wind Fury and attack with it a second time, but it's got Overload 2, which means it takes 2 mana from your pool on the following turn. So I could do 2 damage once, or I could do 2 damage twice, but if I do it twice, I lose out on 2 mana the following turn. And that's the part I'm having trouble with. I think I probably played 6 games with this deck, which is not a lot. I was trying to do my Shaman quest for the day, which is why I actually built it on the spot. And I won one, and I won it quite handily. So when everything works, it works pretty cool. But, you know, the first few were complete losses because I had to learn how to use the deck. There's a lot of thought involved in it because you have to plan out your mana. The weakness I found of the deck was... I had 9 3 casting cost spells, which is a lot, but it had 2 at 4, 5 at 5, 3 at 6, and 1 at 7. And when you're blowing all of your next turn's mana on the overload cards, you're not getting the mana to cast those big cards. So it's like playing a healer in Warcraft. You have to conserve your mana and play it wisely. So,
unless you're disciplined.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's... I mean, I don't think it's that the deck is weak, because Rich said he had a 10-game win streak with it at higher ranks. But I don't know. I'm just... It takes a special way to play, and I just haven't been able to master that quite yet, or even come close to wrapping my brain around it. But the combinations built into the deck are pretty cool, and I know this because I've been rolled over by a number of shamans. In fact, I saw you get rolled over by one today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have six minions out on the board, and then he casts Bloodlust, which gives all of your minions +3 to attack, and then you just roll over them. It's kind of like how Unleash the Hounds used to be.
Yeah, I just got lightning blasted with all sorts of different spells. There must have been at least 3 or 4 different cards that had lightning coming across the screen and obliterating my tunes. I wasn't playing a shaman, I was playing against a shaman. So I haven't tried it. I'm a little nervous about trying it because it seems pretty complicated. So I'm going to have to get used to the idea of spending mana ahead of time.
So the two classes that I have the least experience with are both different with the mana. There's the shaman who borrows against future mana, and then there's the druid who actually can increase the amount of mana he can use with his various spells. So those two deck types are a little different. You just have to turn into a different sort of player when you're playing them. Everybody's got their comfort zones, and I have to play this a little bit more before I decide for sure if I like it or not.
Then you reminded me of the card Arcane Golem, just to refresh people's memory, because this was my three mana pick last week. It's a 4/2 creature with charge, and the battle cry is to give your opponent a mana crystal. Every time I play that card, my opponent's like, thank you, thank you. But except the time that I cast two of them and he had only 6 points left and I kind of obliterated him. Which brings me to plays of the week. Unless you still had more to say about your shaman experience.
No, I think I'm done with my shaman experience for the week.
Okay. I had... earlier today, said to Autumn's Bane that I didn't have a play of the week, and I was all depressed, had nothing fun or interesting happen that I could talk about tonight until about 10 minutes before the show. And that's when I played my hunter against another hunter. I hear silence from Autumn's Bane. I will keep talking. Okay, what happened was he had 5 points left. I still had a good amount. I was doing fairly well. Never, ever, ever am I sure of a win, because I've seen me have 15, 20 mana, and I've seen somebody only have one mana, health. Sorry. I've seen me with 15 health and first my opponent with one health and have them completely obliterate me and win. But in this case, I was feeling pretty good. I had him down to 5. I had a Wolf Rider out that he had not killed the prior turn. The Wolf Rider is a 3/2 creature. It has charge. Didn't matter about the charge because it was already in the field.
3/1.
What'd I say?
3/2.
I lied.
You did.
I fibbed.
Just a little.
Sorry.
Little fib.
Just a little one. Okay, so the Wolf Rider's out there. He's my little 3/1. He's sitting there nice and pretty, ready to roll over. I have my hunter, so I know I have steady shot. I'm thinking this will go with no problem. And he plays a secret. Well, I thought it could be one of two cards. It could be the one that would obliterate my Wolf Rider by blowing him up for 2 points. Or it could be
explosive
misdirection.
Trap.
Yes. Or it could be misdirection, which basically has that card, your card that's attacking, attack another random character instead of the one you meant to. So I said, How am I going to fix this? Well, I had to happen to have a misdirection in my deck. I put my misdirection out, and I prayed, because if it was an explosive trap, my Wolf Rider would have gone kaplooey and died. But if it was misdirection, I wanted to see how exactly it would work.
And how did it work?
Hysterically. Not for the other player, but for me. I thought it was very funny, because my Wolf Rider... I must have confused that poor Wolf Rider. He didn't know if he was coming or going, because I sent him out to my opponent. So here he goes, growling across the field, smacks into my opponent, only to be misdirected, gets all confused, comes back at me, racing towards me with his 3 points of damage, quickly hits me, and boom, my misdirection goes off. So he kind of gets the little head spin, turns around, goes back and attacks the other hunter who did not have any more secrets up and took the 3 points of damage. So it was kind of funny watching that poor little Wolf Rider back and forth. And then, of course,
he was confused.
He was confuddled, yes. And then, of course, I, after that, hit my steady shot, and ta-da! That was the winning stroke of the game. So I did a well played to him, and I'm sure he was saying four little words back to me. But that's how I won. So I consider that my play of the week on just silliness. It's not going to be something that happens to you often. I mean, it really, the stars just have to align. It was a hunter versus hunter, and it was a misdirect secret versus a misdirect secret with very low health left. I thought that was funny.
Sometimes the satisfaction of the entire game comes down to just how it ends.
Mm-hmm. Or the silliness. I don't mind losing if something fun and different and just unique happens in the game. If I had lost that game, I still would have been amused. I still think I would have called that a play of the week, because it was just that funny. Again, I don't think he thought it was, but I did. Now, you also had a play of the week with a card that I had said I thought was very, very, very neat, and you were thinking it really was pretty worthless. I think you found out differently.
No, I didn't say it was worthless. I said it was limited in scope. But I also said I would try it just to make you feel better.
And you did.
So my play of the week was also with a hunter deck, and I was playing against a mage. So in the opening hand, what do I draw but the one flare that's in my deck that's there because you insisted I try it. So here's this one casting cost spell, a rare flare. All minions lose stealth, destroy all enemy secrets, draw a card. So I knew that it was likely for this mage to use secrets. And, they would probably show up end game, and they were likely going to be a secret that gave it 8 armor or blocked it from dying and gave it immunity till the end of the turn, because those are the two I tend to see most. So I held on to this card, and we played, and we whittled each other down, and we were down to very close amounts of health toward the end. And finally, I had just one health left, and she had a couple, and she puts down a secret. So I cast Flare, and bye-bye goes her secret. I cast Leroy Jenkins, who charges over to victory. So, yep, the Flare worked, and when it works, it's an excellent card, because there's otherwise no way to get around those traps in the very last turn. If you're that close, when you're neck and neck, and that mage has those secrets, then forget it. There's no winning. There's no getting around it. This is the one card, and the only one card, that can work around that to remove that ability, and I happen to have it. I stand by my theory that this card is only going to be useful against like 40% of decks, but I guess it's worth having.
As I said, the mage secrets are the best secrets. They also cost the most, but they are really good secrets. So being able to thwart her was nice to see it works.
Yes. So we also had a play of the week sent in for the first time by one of our listeners.
Yay, and, thank you for that.
It is such a fun play of the week, and he was so excited that we decided we were going to read it. So I'm editing this because this came from Rich, the same listener who sent us that shaman deck, and I edited it to correct a card that he had mistyped. But he goes, "Hi peeps, Rich from St. Louis here again. Had a funny play that just happened to me a few minutes ago. I'm on my Anduin Rin Priest, and I'm playing against a warrior."
Sorry, I have to say it. Oh, yes!
Yeah, I know, it's, I have mixed feelings about reading this letter and... endorsing clever plays made by a priest.
But
no
yay.
Offense, Rich, but you know how
happy
we feel
you,
about
Rich.
Priests. Anyway, Rich says that the warriors got a 1-7 Mogu Shan warden and an abusive sergeant out. He says, "I have a demolisher. I play..." okay, here's where it says. He says he plays mind games, but it wasn't mind games. It was Shadow Madness. Shadow Madness, just I should let people know what that is, because it's a really cool card, and it's a rare for 4 casting cost. It's gain control of an enemy minion with 3 or less attack until end of turn. Now that's what's key, because at first I didn't get this letter. I'm like, okay, I don't get what you're saying. And then once we figured out what the card actually was, like, oh, this makes all the sense. So I'll read it one more time.
And they should do that with mind control, but go ahead.
Gain control of an enemy minion with 3 or less attack until end of turn. That's the key part of it. All right, so let me finish reading the letter. Go back to here. Okay, so he plays the Shadow Madness, okay, to take control of the warden, and he kills the sergeant. I then Tink Master his warden that I have control of. So for people who don't know what that means, is Tink Master Overspark has an ability that's a battle cry. Transform a minion into a 5-5 Devil Sore or a 1-1 Squirrel at random. So he Tink Masters his warden that he has control of. Now the thought being, if I turn it into a squirrel, he gets a 1-1 back. But if it turns into the Devil Sore, I get to keep the 5-5. I got the RNG and turned a Devil Sore. Warrior says, "Thanks." Then I can tell the confusion set in as to why he didn't get the 5-5 back. He sat there for a bit, mousing over everything, and then he conceded. Made me chuckle.
Beautiful.
Thanks,
because
and keep up the
was,
great work. Because it was no
beautiful.
Longer
it was no
3
longer,
or less.
Right.
So,
That was a priceless play.
Yeah, so that's a nice little kind of an exploit of the rule that, that
no,
took some
that's
clever...
Great.
No, well, not all exploits are cheating. I didn't mean it in a negative way. He found a clever use of the ability of the card that he doesn't get the card back again because it's no longer that 3 or less power creature. So it could have gone the other way, and our friend might have lost, but he played the odds and they worked in his favor and he won. I love when those kind of plays come to pass.
Yep, and thank you for sharing with us.
That's what makes the game fun, moments like that.
Yep.
So, thanks for the letter, Rich.
So, we had last week started talking about what our 3 best choices were for each mana section, being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. 9, 10, we can keep going, but mostly it's 1 through 7. We got up to 4 last week and ran out of time.
And it's just the neutrals.
Just the neutrals. We may go back and revisit this and do a similar compare and contrast, which we think are the best for each. Since we've done the neutrals, maybe go back and do something similar for each actual class. But right now, we're going to discuss the number 5 mana cost cards, the 3 of our top choices. What are yours, Onwisbane?
Okay, so 5 would be Abomination.
Check.
Gadgeteer, Auctioneer. And Faceless Manipulator. Oh, okay. So,
well, we both agreed on the Abomination, so.
Yeah, so let's tell people what the Abomination is, because it's a pretty cool spell, if you ask me. It's a minion. For 5 casting costs, it's a rare. 4 attack, 4 health, taunt, death rattle, deal 2 damage to all characters. Now, that could backfire on you, because it does 2 to you and your minions as well. But I've still used that card to
I use it a lot. In fact, in my Paladin deck, I have 2 of them. And I have my Redemption, which basically brings somebody back to life. So I have actually put shields on him. I have driven people nuts with him. I will cast him, and I will put a shield on him, and I will put a Redemption on him. Well, I put Redemption out as the secret. And then somebody hits him and does no damage because of the shield, and then takes him out for the 4, and then gets all the damage dealt to them, and then he comes back to life as a 4/1 creature. So now he's still out there with taunt, still has the same death rattle. They still have to kill him again. So now, if it's the same turn, he's actually done a total of 4 damage to all characters, which pretty well can obliterate anybody's stuff. So I try to play, if I'm going to play something like that, I try to make sure that my own characters, my own minions, can take it. But I've had a lot of fun bouncing him around. That sounds wrong. He's...
Well, that's a lot of strategy and thought in there. I just like him because he blows crap up.
There you go. Did a different choice for my second 2. I chose the Fen Creeper, and I chose the Silverhand Knight. So I'll do the Fen Creeper, then you do yours, and then we'll go back and forth. My Fen Creeper is a... Again, these are all 5 casting cost neutrals. He is a 3/6 with taunt. And I just thought a character with 6 health and taunt is pretty nasty to have sitting out there for a 5 casting cost.
Especially since it does 3 damage, which is enough to take out a bunch of minions that would attack it.
So that was my choice for a 5er also. What was one of yours?
So, Gadgeteer Auctioneer is a 5/4 taunt, so it's got 9 combined attack and health, just like your Fen Creeper, but it's got a little bit more attack, so they're very similar. We pick very similar cards, just mine has a little more attack, yours has a little more defense.
Okay. All right, and the last one that I liked was the Silverhand Knight. He is a 4/4 creature, so right there he's pretty decent. His battle cry is to summon a 2/2 squire. So for 5 mana, you get a 4/4 and a 2/2.
Not bad.
Nope. What was your second? Third.
My third. I chose Faceless Manipulator. And I don't actually have a Faceless Manipulator, but I've seen it used against me so many times that I'm like, ugh. As soon as I craft my legendary, I'm going to save up to craft this guy. So for 5 casting costs, he's an epic. He's got 3 health and 3 attack, but his battle cry is to choose a minion and become a copy of it. So the 3/3 is really pointless in most regards, unless perhaps there's some kind of spell effect that takes place upon its casting. So I suppose, you know, if you've got the mage secret that destroys a creature as soon as it's cast, then even then the health wouldn't matter, but there might be other damaging ones. Oh, there's a hunter trap that does 4 damage when you cast it, so the Faceless Manipulator would be destroyed by that. But the reason I say that otherwise it's irrelevant is because you're gonna make a copy. So if somebody's got, you know, Sylvanas out there, or you know, Malagos, boom, now I've got one too.
It's a good end game card.
Or if it's mine, if it's my Ragnaros, not that I have a Ragnaros, but if I have a Ragnaros out and then I play this, then okay, now I've got 2 Ragnaroses out.
Yeah, I wonder if it would let you do that since you're not allowed to have that in your deck. Well, interesting.
You're not allowed to have two.
Two legendary, right?
It doesn't mean you can't have two in play when one has been copied.
Or stolen from your opponent like some people do. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And in our chat room, Faye actually suggested one that I've seen a lot of people play. It's the Azure Drake, which is a plus one spell damage, and the battle cry is to draw a card, and it's a 4/4 creature too.
Yeah, so that was my runner-up card. I use that in all of my caster decks.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of people use the Azure Drake. It's a very popular card.
Yeah, for those who were not listening to our last turn, we prefaced that this segment last time that while every one of these categories has a card that might be extremely useful in a specific strategy deck, we're just talking generally speaking. If we had a limited collection and can only have certain cards, which ones would we pick that we thought would work well in many decks and not just that one designed deck?
Yeah, a whole new meaning to plays well with others.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to the 6-mana cost cards. My choices were the Argent Commander.
No brainer there. I'll just read mine. The Argent Commander, the Priestess of Ilune, and the Sunwalker. The Argent Commander might be the most commonly cast 6-mana cost card in the game because everyone seems to use it. It's got a 6 casting cost, it's got charge, it's got divine shield, and it's got a 4 power and 2 health. The second one, the Priestess of Ilune, is also quite valuable, 6 casting cost, has a 5 attack power, 4 health, and the battle cry is to restore 4 health to your hero, which that's a significant chunk of health. And the Sunwalker is also proven to be a thorn in my side because other people have used it against me, but I thought it worthy to be in my top 3, is a taunt and divine shield with a 4 attack and 5 health, which is pretty valuable. We've got Faye in our chat room saying that he likes 2 of those 3, the Argent Commander and the Priestess, but he chose the Boulder Fist Ogre.
Argent Commander, Priestess of Ilune, and Sunwalker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at that. So everything you said, I agree with.
Yeah, they're pretty. And I went over what each of them were and why I like them. And, you know, they're pretty good cards. I think that they stand on their own.
It was a hard choice, too. It was a hard choice. But I gotta say, when I see somebody play the Sunwalker like a rogue, I've seen rogues bring out the Sunwalker. I think it's just because I have it in my Paladin deck. I always wonder, what is she doing with that card?
Yeah, because it's a neutral card.
Yep, it is neutral. It just has a Paladin feel to it.
Yep, so it does. And the flavor text on this is pretty funny. It says, she doesn't actually walk on the sun. It's just a name. Don't worry.
Oh.
So.
No, she walks in sunshine.
There you go. Well, you know, the Sunwalkers were when they renegotiated the classes that the Warcraft races could play. They added the Sunwalker as the Tauren Paladins. So in early Warcraft, you could not have a Tauren be a Paladin, but they gave the Tauren the ability to be a Paladin, and they named them Sunwalkers. So for those non-WoW players out there, or new WoW players out there, that's why it's named a Sunwalker.
Interesting. Look at that. WoW trivia, which is important for this game because it is based on WoW.
Mm-hmm. Shall we move on?
Always have to keep that in mind. Yes.
To seven.
And there are not a lot of 7 casting cost cards.
No, there's not. There's basically 4.
The rest are legendary.
That are not legendary.
Yeah. So we had to choose our three of the four.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we're going to pick the same three, right?
So maybe. Yeah, probably.
The first has got to be another very common card that we see all the time is the Stormwind Champion.
Oh, that one.
Right? You had to have picked that one.
Yes, of course. And the Stormwind Champion is a 6/6 creature. Gives your other minions 1/1.
Right, +1/+1. So to health and to attack.
Clearly, and that's not a battle cry.
No, it's not. So it's pretty powerful. And it's clearly, unless you're a hunter, the best 7 casting cost card. And it's a basic card. It's not even from the expert set.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also a very popular card that I picked as one of my choices. It was kind of iffy on it. The Corehound.
Right. Well, clearly, it's good for Hunter Beast decks because a 9 attack and 5 health.
Beast.
Beast.
It gets your +1/+1 from your Alpha Wolf.
Yep. And it's also a basic card. So for players just starting out, you're looking for a high casting cost, meaty minion without owning any epics or legendaries yet. That's a pretty good staple to give your deck some meat.
And it's got 5 armor or 5 health. So it's pretty decent as far as that is concerned. Too. I liked that. My other choice was the Ravenholt Assassin.
Right, the only other choice.
No, there's another choice.
Well, that's not really a choice.
And we'll discuss why we didn't choose that one later, but the Ravenholt Assassin is a rare.
Rare.
And it's got stealth, and it's a 7/5 stealth creature, so he can just hide there for a long time. There are ways of smacking the stealth off the board, but when he's got 5 health in stealth, that's pretty impressive. So yeah, he's a stealth card.
Pretty hard to AoE 5 damage unless you've got some spell buffing cards out there.
Right.
Because even a flame strike only does 4.
Like if you have your Malagos, which does a +5 to spell damage, that would wipe him off the board.
Right.
But in case there are new players out there listening to us who haven't listened to the previous podcast that mentioned what stealth is, when a creature comes out with stealth, you cannot directly hit it with your, you have to do it. AoE is about the only way you can take these out. Because they're hidden in the shadows.
Yes, stealth can't be attacked or targeted until it deals damage.
Correct.
So, actually, I may stick him in one of my decks.
Hmm.
I haven't actually played with him. Do you have him? He's rare. I have one.
I have 2 of them.
Okay.
I do have 2 of them. I don't believe I have him in any of my decks.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I tend to not have a lot of the higher casting cost cards. I usually cut off at about 6 unless they're legendary.
Yeah.
I haven't realized that until just now, but
yeah,
it seems to be what I do.
In the current meta, if you have too many high casting cost creatures, then...
you never get to cast them.
That's right.
Or the priest steals them, but... That's another thing we talk about
all the time,
people are getting sick of. Okay. The last card that we did not put up with our top 3 was the War Golem, which is a casting cost of 7 again, and a 7/7 creature. And the reason I didn't choose it is if I had my druthers, I'd rather do 9 points of damage than 7 points of damage. And when it comes to the difference between 5 health and 7 health, there's not a lot of difference there.
Yeah. Well, 7 is still hard to take down.
It is. So is 5. So I'd rather do the 9 points of damage. I think I'd be able to hit just as quickly and do more damage.
And like the Corehound, this and the Stormwind Champion for that matter, this is a basic card. So everybody gets that. I mean, this is, everybody gets this card as part of their collection. It's in the basic set.
Yep.
So we excluded legendaries because, there's there's been talk upon talk about what are the best legendaries is too controversial and too deck specific to say which is the best legendary. Above seven really are only three cards, and they all fall into the same category. They're all giants. The sea giant costs 10, the mountain giant costs 12, and the mountain giant costs 20. But that's not even true.
That's misleading.
Because each of them has an adjustment for, you know, depending on other circumstances to bring the mana cost down. So it just, these are almost sort of like quasi-legendaries. Well, they're all epics, but they're all so specialized that they don't fall into other categories. The Sea Giant, of course, is cost less for each minion on the battlefield. The Mountain Giant, less for each card in your hand. And the Molten Giant, less for each damage your hero has taken. So,
I've had the Molten Giant twice come up against me. I mean, not twice come up against me, but come up against me. There were two in the field. He got cast, and then he got duplicated. So I sat there staring at this 8-8, and then another 8-8. And I had nothing on the field, and I knew 16 points of damage coming at you the next turn. It was just going to hurt. It did hurt.
I think I talked about in the last turn that my play of the week was a bad situation where somebody had two or even three Molten Giants out because of a Faceless Manipulator.
Right. Right. And yeah,
really,
I had that.
Really scary.
I had that happen to me, not with the Faceless Manipulator. Well, it might have been that. I just know that I had two of these big guys staring me in the face, and I felt very small.
Yeah. So we're done with our little segment on our favorite three cards of each casting cost.
Yeah.
And the irony is some of the cards that I had listed I don't actually have in any of my decks, and I haven't actually gone back and put them in the decks yet. But you know, some of them might just be theoretical. We'll have to see how they play out when I go rearrange my decks.
That's right. I have just finally put Brawl in my deck. I want to mention that. I put Brawl in my
Warrior deck,
because we talk about these great cards, and then they're not in our decks. So it hasn't come up yet. Looking forward to it. It's a 5 mana casting cost that basically is a warrior card that is destroy all minions except one, and it's chosen randomly. And I had a game earlier that I don't know if you heard me screaming in the other room or in the other cities. I was shouting, Brawl, 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 because at the point I needed it, it did not come out. I had like 6 cards on his side, 1 on mine. And if Brawl came out, it would have just helped me balance the game. I had no chance of winning if Brawl didn't show up. And I got instead, what is it, Whirlwind?
Yeah, for 1.
Which does 1 point of damage to every creature. And his 6 creatures had a lot more than 1. So that was a concede button after a well played, because he really did a great job. But if that Brawl had come out, it would have been a game changer.
Yeah,
and
well,
plus the graphics are so much fun.
Here's a little secret about the Whirlwind. I've seen warriors put spell damage bonus cards in their deck just to make the Whirlwinds do more damage. So all those little creatures that give +1 of spell damage or more, Whirlwind buffs.
And again,
the Whirlwind.
Though, it's a matter of luck. You have to get the cards out that you need to buff the cards that you want to buff.
Yeah, well, Brawl is in the same category as Elite Tauren Chieftain. It's just so much fun to play. It just, you know, you cast the card and
all these
ding,
characters
ding,
start
ding,
rolling
ding,
against
all
each
the characters.
Other.
Yes, so if you have not played with it and you have it, just make a deck, put it in there. Actually, as far as I'm concerned, if you own a warrior deck and a Brawl, and the Brawl is not in the deck, what's the matter with you? Get it in there. It's the only true AoE balancing card there is, you know, short of Deathwing.
And again, I know a lot of people want to play to win, play to win, play to win. Yes, that's very important, but every once in a while, maybe fun to make a silly deck just to have fun. And I'm not talking about Murlocs. Mohawks are not silly. But, you know, just a fun deck so that if you are losing, play deck, play casual so you really don't care if you lose. So just to see some of these cards come up for the fun of it. And
well, that's
a suggestion,
the type of deck you play against your friends.
Right.
You
a
can
suggestion
challenge
also,
your friends.
That's mm-hmm. true. If you find yourself losing frequently in one sitting, log out for a minute. Give it a chance to possibly reset and then log back in. Because, again, they're going to put you up against people who are your same skill level. And if you wind up losing quite a few, it's going to set you back. So log out and then log back in, and it may put you back to the point where you're up against people that you just have better luck. It can turn your luck around a little bit, because sometimes you just have a bad night.
This is true, or it's just a theory.
It's not Memorex. It's true.
It's true that if you log out and log back in, it resets your MMR.
Oh, that! I thought that you could have a bad night, because it's very true. You can have a bad night. No, I think it would.
Oh, you think logging out and re-logging in is like shuffling your deck again?
Exactly. It could. I mean, who knows? But it might make you feel better. And if it if you do win the next game, you just say, oh, Black Lace told me to do it, and I'll take all the credit. And if it doesn't work, hey, I didn't promise you that it would work.
There's a lot of superstition in card games, and I guess there you have Black Lace's bit of superstition. It's like wild players who carry rabbit's feet in their bags in hopes of getting better loot.
That's it. I had done that back in Vanilla WoW. I used to carry a rabbit's foot around for a while. I didn't ever see it work, really.
No.
And anyway, I do want to make a mention, an honorable mention. We had a really beautiful iTunes review. So I want to give a shout out to E Shaded, who left us a review on February 21st. That was just, it was really nice. And I think if we ever get the nasty review, we did have a 1-star rating. We did not get a review with that, so I'm not sure what that was. But we've gotten about 6 5-star reviews, which we appreciate. If we do ever get a verbiage with a 1-star, I think I'll go back to E Shaded's post and read that again too, because it just was very, very sweet, very nice, and most appreciated. I know not everybody out there is going to like our style. We can't expect it to, but it's been great hearing from so many people who really enjoy the show, because this is all for you guys.
Yeah, well, we had 7 actual reviews that were all complimentary, so thank you to all of the people who reviewed. Thank you also to the 2 people who left us 5-star ratings without the reviews. I guess they were shy, but it was nice. So it makes us feel good and helps us keep going and makes us want to do this more if there are people who like us doing this for them.
So, yeah, basically the ways to find us again are on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us and download us on iTunes or in Holosuite. You can give us a review in iTunes. You can find us on Facebook at awohearthstone. That is the way to find us or speak to us. I am Black Lace.
I'm Autumn Spain.
And as always, happy hearthing.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.